We live in really interesting times, don't we? What's been going on the news really started a few years ago, but almost on a daily basis, we're watching our country leaders, our politicians, our actors, sports athletes, newscasters being accused of sin. It's really very interesting to watch society and how it handles sin, and how hypocrisy enters into it, and how hypocritical people can be. Some of the very people that have professed to not do some of these things have been accused of those things. Hypocrisy seems to be something that is just so prevalent out in the world, and particularly during this particular time. It's fascinating to watch exactly how they are handling it. There's denial. There is accusing other people. And very rarely do you see anybody own up to it. So hypocrisy is a really big thing. And God speaks against hypocrisy, obviously. It is the ultimate form of arrogance, if you think about it. Hypocrisy says, I'll say there's a standard, and by the way, many times I'll set the standard. I will teach the standard. I'll appear to hold the standard, but I won't. And when I don't, I won't be honest about it. So what I want to talk to you today a little bit about is hypocrisy, and in particular, how to avoid it. I want to talk to you about the culture of hypocrisy and how to avoid it. Everybody, by the way, is a hypocrite at some time. If you've ever had your iPad on and your phone on, and you're watching the Seahawks, and you tell your kid to get off electronics, there's a good chance that you've been hypocritical. I happen to know a guy that way. But everybody, from time to time, there's different levels of hypocrisy, for sure, right? I mean, there are times where you have no idea that you're living, you're doing and saying things differently than what your standard is, and somebody calls you out on that. And normally, you know, most of us would just say, oh, wow, I had no idea, and they change. And then there's the kind of self-deceit where, you know, you're allowing things, you don't want really those things to happen. And then Mr. Holliday talked about guile a few weeks ago, and there is the outward deceit of hypocrisy, the outward deceit of hypocrisy. So I want to go through a few scriptures and talk about this and how it affects our Christianity. Hypocrisy, by the way, is one of the reasons people leave the church. And when I say leave the church, leave Christianity, leave things in general, not necessarily here. But you'll hear people say, you know, I saw what the leader said and or did that wasn't up to the level that it should have been, so I left. I see your sin, and you're no better than me. They don't know how to trust their leaders because they see hypocrisy. People sometimes will like to point out hypocrisy as an excuse, too. They'll look for it, so they don't fulfill their obligation up to what they need to do. But hypocrisy kills trust, it kills faith, and it sets the worst example. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, we are called to lay aside all malice, all guile, which David spoke about a few weeks ago, and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Hypocrisy, another part of hypocrisy is another word called dissimulation. So part of the definition of hypocrisy, and I want you to listen to this closely if you would, concealing your thoughts, your feelings, or concealing your character. And the reason this is important is I'm going to get into a little definition down a little bit later, but concealing your character, deceit, dishonesty, duplicity, pretense, which is another interesting word, lying and faking or bluffing. You know, you and I have been called to honesty for sure, but in any church or at any time, depending on a person's Christianity and development, there can be some of this element within us. I read another book years ago that talked about Christianity in regards to hypocrisy, and they called them posers, people that pose as if they have all the answers, pose as if they're religious, but they honestly don't. So I'd like to go just through a few scriptures of what Jesus talks about, these scriptures that we know very well, and just make a few comments on them. Matthew 23 and verse 12. Matthew 23 and verse 12. He says, whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. He starts off here, and this is a key, right? This is a key to avoid hypocrisy. Be humble. You know, a person that's a hypocrite typically says, I have all the answers. I've got this down. Be like me. I'll set the standard. Verse 14, Matthew 23 and verse 14. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. He calls them hypocrites. Boy, that would really hurt hearing it from Jesus, wouldn't it? To hear him say that? For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, there's that word, you make a long prayer, and therefore you receive a greater damnation. You know, there's an act of righteousness. There's an act of looking right. There's an act of actually fulfilling some of the responsibilities, but it's done in a hypocritical way. Matthew 23 and verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of the mint and the anise and the cumin, and omit the weightier matters of the law, which is judgment, mercy, and faith. And these ought you had to have done, not to leave the others undone. See, they did what was good on the outside, what people see. They ignored the matters of the heart. Matthew 23 and verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortions and excess. To appear religious, to dress religious, to speak religious, to say things the right way, and to live by the quote-unquote acceptable code, as a good friend of mine would say, and knows the secret handshake. That's hypocrisy. To say to do it, to set your own standard, and then not to do it. Hypocrisy is almost always based on outward appearance. What's the opposite of that? What is the opposite of hypocrisy? We've touched on this and worked on it, but it's authenticity. Authenticity, being real. The definition, I want you to listen closely to this and compare it to hypocrisy, because it is exactly the opposite. Not false imitation or real. True to one's own personality, spirit, or character. The other one said just the opposite. Not true to your character. Not given to pretensions. Not a poser, I would say, from that definition earlier. So what I want to do is give you three steps to avoid hypocrisy if I can. Three steps that the Bible calls on to help you through this, to make sure that that culture, that that's not part of your life, that's not part of our church, that it's not something that we cultivate here, that we can all work on. Number one, admit you're a sinner. That's hard to do sometimes. Boy, it's really hard in the wrong circumstances, the wrong groups of people. But to admit we're a sinner is the beginning. You know, the Romans 5 verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we still struggle in sin, we still sin, I sin. It's important to know that. To say that we have no sin, 1 John 1 verse 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Number one, you've got to admit you sin. You've got to admit you sin, because that begins the dialogue, first of all, with Christ and with God, to change, real change. You have to admit that that you do sin. And as simple as it sounds, it can be very difficult. You know, there are times we'll be knee-deep in sin, and we're caught, and we're doing things that we shouldn't do. And the first way to stop hypocrisy is to actually admit, as simple as it sounds, that you're a sinner. Sin hinders the gospel, but hypocrisy kills it. You know, I think of that, the light and the candle. Do we hide our candle? And I think in terms of, you know, if you're a hypocrite, no one's going to listen to you. You are going to put your light out really, really quick. Number two, confide in someone you trust. Confide in someone you trust. Most of us need help through sin. And the Bible calls us to do that. James 5 and verse 16 says this, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. And the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Find somebody that you can talk to about your weaknesses, about your struggles, about the Christian challenge. Because if we act as if we don't have sin, then we're never going to have those bonds with those that can help us through that. Colossians 3 says, 3 verse 9 says, lie not one to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds. If you really want to find authenticity and you really want to grow, find someone you can confide in. Not be phony. and someone you can trust. And number three, teach what you know to be true and what is actual scriptural. And this is actually where I started with my thoughts on giving this message. Romans 2 and verse 21 says this. Paul's talking to the Romans about hypocrisy. He says, do you teach another, do you not teach yourself? Do you preach that a man should not steal? Do you steal? Do you teach a man that he should not commit adultery? Do you commit adultery? You know, Deuteronomy 6 says this. It says that you're to teach your children all the way that you go, when you wake up, when you lie down, when you walk by the stream. There's a reason for that. These scriptures are directly connected to that. The reason that I see is, first of all, so your children will know. The second reason is, if you're teaching it, you won't be a hypocrite. And you'll have your mind on the actual written word, not on some sort of standard, not some sort of church speak or culture or whatever. You actually have your eyes in the word, you know the word, and you're teaching the word to the best of your ability. Authenticity is the opposite of hypocrisy. To be real and genuine. Hypocrisy kills faith. Authenticity produces love, support, and accountability. One thing that's important is not accepting sin. Never to accept sin. But that's a long ways from admitting it and addressing it and finding somebody to help you through it. Well, today we get to have a kind of a Thanksgiving here, a later Thanksgiving. I really appreciate the fact that they do this each year. And I have to say, I'm thankful that I belong to a church that isn't this way. I really believe this is significant. This is why I love my church. I attend with people who are honest and real with their struggle with sin, never accepting of sin. I have found people to trust and to ask for support and of others. And I believe that others have found the same in me. I think that's a big deal. I don't necessarily think that culture was in place. I've been here a long time, so hopefully I can say this without offending anybody. But I think that culture has changed. I'm really, really grateful for that. I don't believe the church has always been that way, but I'll tell you, from the smallest to the biggest leaders in the Bible, they all had to deal with it. They all had to deal with sin in a certain way. Why did they deal differently than the people that were watching on television? You know, Peter had his denial, and we know what happened there. And David was confronted by Nathan, and we know what happens there. And Paul spends an entire chapter in chapter 7 of Romans, which we've been studying, which is, you know, I do what I shouldn't do, you know, and I don't do what I should do. I hope I got that right. I always get confused. I can't even get that right. And he could be confusing. But for sure, he's addressing this issue. In conclusion, brethren, as we watch the country's prominent leaders and athletes and politicians and all of what is going on struggle with sin and hypocrisy, I am grateful, and let us be grateful, for the call to be authentic. And I'm grateful that we have both the written word, the living word, and a family to trust to help us out of sin.